Grand Rapids and Flint are both in the spotlight in a new report on the sustainability of cities. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. Researchers with the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine looked at 9 cities, including New York and Vancouver. All of them have sustainability plans in place. Linda Katehi chairs the committee that wrote the report.
Grand Rapids showed an example of a city that has made substantial progress, and Flint shows the example of a post-industrial city that has gone through substantial challenges, but also has the potential for progress moving forward.
For example, she says Flint can do a lot more with urban farming. Katehi says one of the biggest challenges cities often face is a lack of support from state governments.
You cannot sustain your actions when it comes to sustainability and improving quality of life unless there are policies that are implemented to help the local governments.
She says that includes investing in infrastructure and addressing social inequality. This is the Environment Report. Researchers who work in wetlands in Michigan are taking a new approach to invasive plants. They're harvesting them for fertilizer and fuel. Sam Corden has more.
When you're in the middle of the Shiawassee National Wildlife Refuge, you don't realize how massive it is. It's 10,000 acres of marshes and bogs, forest and farmland. To put the size in perspective, Manhattan is roughly 15,000 acres. Brendan Carson is a researcher from the University of Loyola Chicago. He's working on a project at the refuge centered around harvesting cattails. There's an invasive European cattail that's crossed with a native cattail to make a hybrid.
The hybrid's called Typhax glauca, and the hybrid can become fairly dominant or extremely dominant in a lot of wetlands, especially where there are excess nutrients like nitrogen and phosphorus.
He says when there are too many cattails in one place, they can crowd out native plants. A wetland can lose its ability to filter water, and birds and fish can suffer from a lack of food and shelter. Most afternoons on the refuge are peaceful, but today, we're harvesting. The bright red harvester pushes forward, spitting out cattails as it moves. It's specially made for projects where you need to have a low impact on the earth. It seems to glide over the marshland, consuming every cattail in its path. Carson says the project is designed to let the cattails grow all summer, absorbing the nutrients like a sponge before the harvesting takes place.
As long as you can remove that tissue while it's still green and kind of in a growing state, then you're going to be removing quite a bit of nitrogen and phosphorus.
Then, those nutrients can be put to good use elsewhere. The researchers give the shredded cattails to local farmers, and the farmers use them to fertilize crops. Carson says harvesting invasive plants is more cost-effective than spraying them with chemicals. The invasive plants might also have other uses. One researcher in the Upper Peninsula has started using invasive plants to make fuel pellets. Pellet stoves are similar to wood-burning stoves. They can burn plant matter as a renewable source of home heat. And at the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh, Brian Langhoff is using a mechanical digester to turn the cattails and other materials into electricity.
The capacity to produce up to, 10% of our university's power consumption equivalent, or roughly, 220 average American homes year-round we can provide heat and power to.
Using invasive plants in these ways is still pretty new, but the researchers say farmers and businesses could work together to create markets for them, and that could result in healthier wetlands for the entire Great Lakes region. For the Environment Report, I'm Sam Corden.
That's the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams.